something at your convenience. So thank you to people who have been calling in this morning at 877-500-5266. We've got a goal of $1,100. And we've got some more programming coming up that's news and public affairs specific for you, because that's why you tune in to KBOO, right? Because you want to be informed. You want to find out points of view and facts that you're not going to get anywhere else. You know, I've been listening to KBOO for most of the time that I've been in Portland, over 25 years, and I don't have a television. And what I appreciate is that the information that I get is clean, it's clear, it's informative. And that's why you support KBOO. 877-500-5266.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 2017 Portland Eco Film Festival, September 28th through October 1st at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. The Portland Eco Film Festival is the Pacific Northwest premier venue for environmental cinema, showcasing films about nature, outdoor pursuits, wildlife, and eco-conscious living, along with visiting filmmakers, special guests, and conservation organizations, and more. Again, that's the 2017 Portland Eco Film Festival, September 28th through October 1st at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Black Bear Diner, located at 105 Northeast Burnside Road in Gresham, serving all-day American comfort food and desserts in a woodsy setting. Lunch was provided by Musubi, located at 2134 Southeast Division Street, Portland's takeout spot for Hawaiian sushi rice snacks filled with homemade Spam and other delicacies. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Portland.
Said prepare me for all I'm better. I am a witness, so crystal bullets I dropped the hatchet, you won't forget it. Said prepare me for all I'm better. I am a witness, so crystal bullets I dropped the hatchet, you won't forget it. Said mine eyes have seen nothing but trouble. You must make peace with them gods and the devils. I can be rude, boy, I am not subtle. I can just take and burst out them bubbles. We are the ones even waiting to rumble. I torch my enemy enemies out with a candle. Music is a weapon, make empires crumble. We bring them bankers and wealthy to tremble. What we know is what we're owed. Can't be too careful, shoot flaming arrows. Hitting them wicked, burning them bridges. Shared what we know is what we owe. Can't be too careful, shoot flaming arrows. Hitting them wicked, burning them bridges.
And good morning. This is Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. Thank you to all of you who have supported us in our membership drive. And those who haven't yet, you still have plenty of opportunities, and this is one. During this program, we're going to be talking to two guests on the phone. And they are Winona LaDuke, who is a Executive Director of Honor the Earth, a Native-led environmental justice organization, and many other things. Been fighting a lot of environmental and other battles for many, many, many years. And she is joined with filmmaker Carrie Pickett, who is put out a new film, which is showing tomorrow in Portland, tomorrow Thursday, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. And it is called First Daughter and the Black Snake. And before I forget, I should mention we just heard opening this show NACO and Medicine for the People with Build a Bridge. NACO is a local Portlander. So without further ado, let's bring up our guests. Hello, Winona.
Hello there.
Hello, hello. And hello, Carrie.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for appearing. And so this is a brand new film. I see it's only been shown, I don't know, just maybe a couple times or...
Has been showing throughout the year at a number of different film festivals around the country, and I'm so excited that the film is opening the Portland Eco Film Fest.
Indeed.
Yeah, we are really excited about that.
You're a little bit faded there, Winona. I'm not sure if there's anything you can do about that. I understand you're in a car somewhere. But
hey, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, yeah, much better. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that, yeah.
No problem.
We are really excited about being at the Portland Eco Film Festival and opening up the film festival. You know, just happy to be in Portland, and NACO is from Portland, but as a lot of you know, I was raised in Oregon, and but this is a, you know, story about our battle, and Carrie's done a wonderful job, and we really hope people come out and are inspired by it.
Yeah, so... talk a little bit about how this film came to be, Carrie.
Well, I've been following Winona's environmental justice work over the years, and in 2013, when the Enbridge company announced that they were going to put a new pipeline right through the heart of her Anishinaabe territory, I was like, oh my goodness, what is Winona going to do now about this? And I felt that this would be one of her biggest and most formidable opponents, this, you know, major multinational big oil company. And so I set out to follow her and to find out what she was going to do about this situation. And so I followed her for about 2.5 years, and the film reflects her work, her family, and her community's efforts to stop both the Sandpiper and Line 3 pipelines.
And Sandpiper, I guess is sort of a spoiler here, didn't go through, but the Line 3, we'll talk about that as the program goes, where is that at? And a lot of people may not know, who are now alerted to the existence of these oil pipelines and the large-scale resistance to them from the no-dapple struggle. And people may not have heard that there is that long fight against the Sandpiper pipeline, which was promoted by which oil companies?
So this is Enbridge, which is the largest pipeline company in North America. I think it's the largest in the world, actually. Uh-huh. And it's a Calgary-based pipeline company named Enbridge, which has a set of lines called the main line that goes through Minnesota that were put in the early 60s. And those are the ones that go over to the Straits of Mackinac that a lot of people are paying attention to, this line that is kind of like waving under the Straits of Mackinac. And, you know, so it's indicative of these large old pipelines, but these were put in for the Canadian tar sands. And so, you know, these are some old lines, but what they wanted to do was to put in a new line. And that new line was the Sandpiper, which would have been a fracked oil pipeline. And that is the battle that Carrie's film covers, is the battle that was a successful battle, but it was, you know, it was, I would say it was brutal, but I think Line 3 is going to be more brutal. It was hard, you know, it was hard, but we did defeat them on the Sandpiper. And then the company Enbridge, which had a lot more money than Energy Transfer Partners, the company which is the proponent or had been the proponent of DAPL, Dakota Access, they gave them 28% of their pipeline money. When they were defeated in Minnesota, they instead moved to North Dakota where they thought it would be easier. And so they emboldened Energy Transfer Partners to build that line. They financed them.
So you kill one black snake.
Then they came back this year with something we knew they were going to come back with, which was Line 3, their largest project in history, which is their, 915,000 barrel a day tar sands pipeline they're trying to get our way. But Carrie's film is, you know, a labor of love for sure, and she hung with our community through a lot.
Yeah, no, I saw the film yesterday, actually, and it's a remarkable portrait of both you and your community and a struggle. It's kind of a portrait of a struggle that now a lot more people in the United States and around the world are aware of such struggles. And please, we are going to have to take a break here. And just hold the line. I think you know we're in our membership drive. I'm sure you know all about the need for community support for good causes like community radio. And we have our co-station manager, Mike Crenshaw, with us to talk about more reasons to support KBOO.
You're going to want to support KBOO if you don't already, because where else are you going to hear Winona LaDuke and Nako on the line? And thank you for the work you guys are doing. I appreciate that. Music, you know, cultural activism, combining art and culture and the platform to have a message, as well as being out in the community on the front lines and being part of the continuum of struggle, that's essential work. And KBOO wants to support that happening. 877-500-5266 is how you can support that happening, like people have been doing already this morning. I want to thank Christine from Portland, who became a new member. I want to thank Kimberly from Corvallis, who became a new member. And you can become a new member too. And those of you who are already members, you can renew your membership. You can maybe increase your monthly donations. There are thank you gifts that we have for you. And one of the biggest gifts that we have is being community radio, is being on the air and allowing you as a listener and people in the community to access this information that's so relevant to the world that we live in today. Again, 877-500-5266 and online at kboo.fm. Paul, what's up?
Oh, well, we're here talking with Winona and Carrie, and I'm sure they have a lot of reasons also to support community radio. I'm sure community radio has been vital for both of them, I imagine. Is that
definitely
right?
Definitely. In Minnesota, it's the only thing I've got on my radio, that's for sure.
And and community support for everything that we're trying to do, because obviously you're fighting against corporations doing these oil lines, so they're not going to support your efforts. And we talk about the depredations of a corporate rule in this country, and so they're not likely to support our efforts here. So it leaves it up to the people, the power of the people all united together.
Yeah, it's so important. Too. I know that up here on my our reservation, we started a radio station, KKWE, and that radio station is tribal radio. And I was super pleased that yesterday the constitutional convention was broadcast live, or the constitutional meetings. And you know, for a community like ours that is always listens, you know, other people talk about us or don't talk about us, it's great to have your own radio where you can talk about yourself and you can have conversations and civic dialogue. So I'm a huge supporter of community radio. And thank you all for your work out there at KBOO. I've been in your studios a number of times, and you guys are great.
Well, thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit. I like to kind of go back and forth between Carrie, the filmmaker, and Winona, the activist, in terms of sort of form and content regarding this film, which again is playing tomorrow night. And I believe we still have some tickets as premiums. Perhaps we can find out for sure back there at Pledge Central. In terms of the content of this film, there's sort of an irony in the fact that you just mentioned, Winona, that you know this one pipeline, the Sandpiper, ended, and they put a bunch of money, which I guess then they had available, towards the No DAPL. As I sort of tried to say while you were talking there at the end, that you know you kill one black snake and it just rears its ugly head. You mentioned in the film that there's already 9 pipelines crisscrossing the north between Canada and the United States. Is that right?
Eight in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Like six that go directly that are Enbridge lines, and then there's the Koch brothers have two lines in Minnesota. And we have a bunch of oil that goes across a place with a lot of water. And that's a problem, and they're all old lines. And you know, I mean, I'm like the rest of people. I never really paid much attention to pipelines, and I'm actually not opposed to pipelines. I mean, I like water and sewer. Those are pipelines, too. Or, you know what I'm saying? Is it's not the line, and we need more of those. I mean, we're in a country, you know, with a D in infrastructure. You have bridges that collapse, like the Skagit Bridge or ours, I-35, and you got, you know, gas mains that explode, and you waste about, you know, 15-20% of your gas in cities because your systems are so old. So we need people to be put to work, you know, fixing infrastructure. And what we don't need is infrastructure for oil companies. We don't need new infrastructure that not only contributes to climate change, but doesn't address any, it just makes a mess. And, you know, so to me, this is a battle that's not just about Minnesota. This is really a battle about who gets to decide what the future of this country looks like. And, you know, so that's a key piece. The other thing that you're saying, and I have to say, I have a few more minutes with y'all, about 10, but I have to be off. But what I was going to say is another thing that I think is important is that, yeah, I spent a lot of time fighting one bad infrastructure project after another, you know, power plants, nuclear power plants, you know, dam projects, mines, and you know, what we have to do is change our level of consumption and change our efficiencies and also pretty much retool our plan so that we're relocalizing things like food and relocalizing things like energy. Then we won't be talking about this oil pipeline after another. And, you know, in the meantime, there's a huge amount of work going on in divestment, and been trying to get them pipelines through because their whole Canadian dollar is really a petrodollar. I think 90% of their money is tied to their tar sands, and you know, they should get a better plan. They should just really get a better plan instead of shoving some pipelines, whether it's like Kinder Morgan out west or this one here, you know, because these are, you know, Canada just put a GHG, greenhouse gas emissions filter on approving mega projects. And you know, it's, you know, this is the time to not do these. Anyway, I can go on and on, but you know, these issues, I know Portland has some innovative fossil fuel free and reduced infrastructure planning, and I'd really like to learn more about that, and that should be a model.
And the Northwest has knocked out many major export projects, including the Millennium coal terminal that was planned for Longview was the seventh of seven that got stopped by people's efforts out here. Obviously, there's a lot of environmental strength in terms of organizing out here. Not to say that there isn't out there. It seems like oil pipelines seem to be very difficult beasts to stop, as we saw with the DAPL issue. Since you're going to be only a few more minutes, maybe we could push ahead a little bit our next membership break so we can take full advantage of your being with us. Talk a little bit about what was successful in the fight against the Sandpiper pipeline.
Well, you know, Carrie's film shows a lot of the pieces. I mean, there was on the groundwork, right, Carrie? We were like at every hearing, right?
I think that, you know, it was a holistic approach, and that was one of the successes. But the regulatory process in Minnesota was really participated in fully by the tribes, and you see that in the film. For both the Sandpiper and the scoping process for Line 3 is featured in the film, and the lines have the same bad path through Minnesota. And I think the thing that everybody came away with after the DAPL fight was that water is life. And so the other thing that's really featured in the film is, in my film, the wild rice is the metaphor for the water. And wild rice cannot cannot exist with a contaminated watershed. And so one of the things you see in the film is how wild rice is very integral to the lifestyle and the livelihoods of people in Winona's territory. And I think one of the takeaways from the film that people learn about is how dependent wild rice is on clean water. And it's a metaphor for all of us. We're all dependent on clean water.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that there's that. And then I think that, you know, the other thing is that, you know, we, you know, the regulatory system is not set up to work particularly well in this, you know, in this part. The state of Minnesota has no idea what it's doing, is what I would suggest to you. Like, they have never really had a deal with the oil pipelines. They're looking now at the fact that big companies want to abandon, you know, the first of, we assume, six lines, you know, and they're kind of like scratching their head, like, why us? And you know, it's time to grow up, you know, as regulatory agencies and say, what's the future look like and who gets to decide the infrastructure, and not like every bid that comes in, like, where do we want to go? So what you saw is, you know, us engaging in the process. And then what you also see is us in our ceremonies, you know, in our cultural, you know, who we are, because, you know, this is a battle that, you know, we prayed a lot about this. We have a lot of ceremonies about this. We, you know, we stopped this before we were getting shot at, you know, by, you know, North Dakota cops. We didn't, we won, you know, and, you know, so there's a lot of things that we do, but a lot of, you know, ceremonies, a lot of prayers, and just, you know, keeping our community unified, and, you know, and then really just challenging the process at every arena. And also, I think helping people get over their fear, you know, because a lot of people are just, you know, afraid. And, you know, I think that people need to find their power,
mm-hmm.
find their courage.
And I think Winona is an amazing example of how much one person can make a difference. And as an artist, that very much interests me. I'm somebody who's interested in focusing on family and community. And I think that we can take struggles to heart much more easily if we're not just looking at the facts and figures of an issue, but we see how it affects people's lives. For instance, Emma Lockridge in the film lives in the Sacrifice Zone next to the Marathon Refinery. She is the living example of what happens to people's health when they are affected by big oil. I think that the film really makes the issue very personal, and because of Winona's lifelong efforts, and you see her work, I find that people are very much inspired and feel very uplifted by the film.
And so we're going to have to break here in just a few minutes. I know you said you have to go pretty soon, Winona. Again, this is a First Daughter and the Black Snake. Maybe just quickly describe what the title refers to.
In the Dakota language and in the Ojibwe, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, Winona, the first daughter born in a family is often called Winona.
That's
and
right.
And then, Winona, perhaps you can talk about the prophecy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, what I know is that there's this, I was told that there is a prophecy about the coming of the black snake, and there's a lot of times that talk, you know, things that talk about this time specifically. But, you know, what I think is that, you know, if you look at those pipelines and you look at these trains, they look a lot like a snake. And the piles of pipe that are sitting here in northern Minnesota, I mean, we have, you know, 300 miles of pipe from a pipeline that's never going to be built, the Sandpiper, and it's sitting there, and it looks like a shed snakeskin, you know? So that's what we talk about. And, you know, to me, you know, in our teachings also, snakes are not bad. You know, we don't come from that Adam and Eve thing. You know, snakes take care of the medicines, but this is a different kind of a being. You know, this is like a monster. And you know, as the Navajos say, I was just down in Diné territory, and they were like, we need some more monster slayers. And I think that is right. You know, it's really time. I'm going to have to go because I have to go. But I want to say also, people should come to the film because my mother, Betty LaDuc, is featured prominently in it. And there's some family, I mean, there's some moments and I know a lot of people, and my mother is going to come to the premiere because she's my mother and she loves me. And so you get like the treat of seeing Betty LaDuke if you come to the premiere as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being able to take
thank
some time
all.
With us here. And we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure. And that was Winona LaDuke, who's featured in this new film, premiere in Portland coming up tomorrow evening at the Hollywood Theater as part of the Portland Eco Film Festival, for which KBOO is a media sponsor. That's at 7 o'clock. And that's First Daughter and Black Snake. And we're going to continue to have Carrie Pickett with us, I believe, for the rest of the program here. And we are in our membership drive, and we would like you to express your appreciation for this conversation and so many other conversations like it or not like it, but always challenging and always informative on talk radio and the other programs here on our morning public affairs and throughout the day here on KBOO Community Radio. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. It's good hearing Winona LaDuke. It's good hearing Carrie. I'm glad that film is going to be available for the people. Go see it. Go check it out. Give us a call. 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO today. Support news and public affairs programming that lets you know what you need to know, what you want to know, what you ought to know about what's happening in this country and in the world. KBOO.fm is where you're going to go donate online. There's a button that says donate on our homepage. If you have the mobile app, you can donate there too. And there are gifts that we share with you for becoming a member of KBOO at 877-500-5266. Paul, how long have you been a programmer on KBOO?
Actually, I'm right here.
Well, you know, we'll come back to that question because I want to talk to you guys a little bit more about why you need to support KBOO. You know, there's tickets we have too that we give away as part of our membership drive. And even though this is news and public affairs, I want to let people know throughout the day that there's different music concerts available because I know a lot of people that listen to news and public affairs also like enjoying music. And the phone is ringing right now. Somebody called 877-500-5266. We do have tickets for the Afghan Whigs. What about that? That's going to be on the 16th of October at Wonder Ballroom at 8:30 p.m. And for a minimum donation of $75, you can get a pair of tickets and you can go see that show. Again, that's the Afghan Whigs at Wonder Ballroom on the 16th of October at 8:30 p.m. Minimum donation of $75. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, and become a member of KBOO today. There are different rates at which you can join. You could do $60 a year, which would be $5 a month. You could do $6 a month, and that would be $72 a year. You could do $625, and that would be $75 a year. I know I'm throwing a lot of different numbers at you, but I'm just wanting to pitch some of the more affordable ways to become a member of KBOO, because we value any and all donations. They add up and they help us do what it is that we do. They help us to train our volunteers. They help us to stay on the air. They help pay the fines, the fees, the cost of running the station, the FCC, the transmitter, the antenna. There's all types of different aspects that make you able to listen to us. And we appreciate you doing so. 877-500-5266. Now for $10 a month, there's a USB drive of exclusive audio. It's got music, it's got news and public affairs, it's got lectures. And we've actually got a goal of $1,100 that we want to make before 9 o'clock this morning. We've got 880 to go because people have been calling, like Christine and Kimberly from Portland and Corvallis, and becoming members. And we've only got $880 to go to make our goal.
And yeah, I was just trying to find out more information about the tickets. We do have 10 pairs of tickets to the premiere tomorrow. And so we'll say for a $60 contribution, you can get a pair of tickets to First Daughter and the Black Snake, showing tomorrow evening at the Hollywood Theater on Northeast Sandy and 41st or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Northeast 41st and Sandy.
Yep. So that's available as a thank you gift for contributing to KBOO Community Radio. And you asked how long I've been I've been a programmer here for 3 or 4 years this time around, and for about 8 years in my previous incarnation in Portland. There may still be some people around there who remember me talking at you back in the 80s and 90s. And yeah, no, I really, it's a great forum. It's a privilege to be able to have this time to, you know, bring different perspectives that you don't get too much chance. As you said, Winona LaDuc, you don't get a chance to hear her too much other than here on KBOO Community Radio. So we would hope you would express your appreciation for that by calling us up.
At 877-500-52. 66.
And thank you so much. Again, that's 877-500-5266. If you haven't called, if you're sitting on the fence, if you
dial your operator,
call us up. So Carrie Pickett is still with us, the director of First Daughter and the Black Snake. So tell us a little more about the process of sort of, you know, it's always an interesting process as a journalist, as a creative writer, as a filmmaker, in getting into different communities that are not, you know, your own community of birth, especially Native American community, which tends to be, you know, in some ways sometimes a little bit wary of outsiders. And so tell us a little bit of what it was like to make the film there and at the White Earth and the other communities you're in.
Well, I got my the start of my, what I would call my real American history education in 1980 when I went to the survival gathering in the Black Hills. And first,
oh, really? You were there at the survival gathering? That's mythic.
Yeah, it's, and so I first heard John Trudell speak at that gathering, and that was the sort of intentional gathering that Winona likes to say. It's sort of like the Dakota Access resistance camps in North Dakota, except that was an intentional planned gathering that was focused around trying to stop uranium mining in the sacred Black Hills of South Dakota. And there were 15,000 people at that event for 10 days. And I was a volunteer in the American Indian Movement tent, and I ran the switchboard every day for quite a bit of the hours of the day. And so I was able to be in the room, in the tent, we would say, with Russell Means and Dennis Banks and all and Clyde Belcourt and all of these amazing people who formed the American Indian Movement. And so not only was I incredibly inspired by John Trudell, but I had this opportunity to be on the inside in very intimate situations with the AIM leadership. And so it was an education that was put on a fast track by that gathering. And I was just 21 at the time. And so that really started me out. And so many, you know, I was very influenced by that, and I would say that event changed my life. And so a number of years later, I told a friend of mine that, you know, I was really moved by meeting so many of the people out at the Black Hills, and I wanted to meet somebody in my own home state of Minnesota, and he said, oh, I know just the person for you to meet, and he introduced me to Winona LaDuc.
And how long ago was that?
I first met Winona when we were in 1984, and then over the years, I've tried to be there to document some of her environmental justice work. My work as a print journalist meant that I also covered her campaign for vice president with Ralph Nader for People magazine when she was selected to be Ms. Magazine Woman of the Year. I photographed her portrait for the cover of Ms. Magazine when she fought the genetic patenting of wild rice. I followed her to the state capitol in 2005. And so just over the years, I've been able to be there and watch her work. But it wasn't really until three years ago in 2013 when I first decided to start documenting her work against the sandpiper that I was with her. Just, you know, I really tied myself to her hip, because when you start a documentary film, you really don't necessarily know where it's going. You certainly don't know how it's going to end. And so I did a tremendous amount of filming. She's a person who is working on a number of different levels. As she said, she believes in sustainable and local food. So you see her efforts in that regard with her own family, as she's a farmer as well as an activist and a mother and a grandmother. And because I was there constantly, I would say that, you know, I became part of the wallpaper and also became part of the community. And people just never, ever had an issue with me. I think that the fact that I'm non-Native has just never really been an issue. I'm seen as an ally. And although I tried to maintain some kind of a journalist's ethic, I, you know, certainly was not unbiased unbiased in the fact that I was interested in Winona LaDuc and interested in what she did and how she did it. And so, you know, I've been... it's the kind of film that called a cinema verite film, where you really go on a journey. And over the 2.5 years, we go through the seasons, we go through the years, and we really go on this journey with Winona. So it's not what I would call a talking head film, where we see the Enbridge representatives, you know, sort of an interview with them and then an interview with this person spouting a lot of facts and figures. It's more where you get to be in Winona's shadow, following her in real time over those 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I do know that this is an issue. Out at Standing Rock, I certainly saw a tremendous amount of journalists who had little to no experience in Indian country. You know, people who wanted to talk more than listen, people who wanted to maybe take more than give. And so I think that this is an issue. But I've confess that nobody's ever had an issue with me that I know of, or nobody talked to me about it.
No, it's
I've gotten nothing but support, and the communities. I've screened the film in the reservation. There's a number of different reservations in Minnesota, and I've been able to screen the film in some different areas, and everybody's been incredibly supportive and incredibly appreciative of the labor of love of my film.
Well, it sounds like you've been around the scene for quite a long time, going all the way back to 1980, obviously, that experience. Unless unless you're just a real stubborn American who doesn't want to get it, it seems like it can only rub off on you. And obviously, you've demonstrated your commitment and your support. And this film is a wonderful film. It's visually a wonderful film. I got to say that, which we'll talk about when we come back from our break for talking about membership. We are in our membership drive, come at you several times a year, and this is one of them, to ask you for your support. And I understand we have three pairs left of tickets to go see First Daughter and the Black Snake, showing tomorrow evening in a Portland premiere as part of the Portland Eco Film Festival at the Hollywood Theater.
That's right. If you call us, you can become a member. You can pledge. You can donate to KBOO.FM. If you want to go online, you can donate there. But if you call us on your telephone, there's going to be a volunteer that's going to answer. A volunteer that in all likelihood has been oriented and even trained at KBOO. 877-500-5266. We believe in training community members to become part of the operations of the radio station, and that's what makes us community radio. What also makes us community radio is that we are supported by donations from members, people that live in the community, people that listen to KBOO all over the world, online at KBOO.FM, people that listen to KBOO through the mobile app, on their telephones, and it's your member support that allows us to do what we do. And we know you appreciate it. We've got $880 left to make to reach our goal this morning. That's right. We had a goal of $1,100. So a minimum of $60 is going to get you a pair of tickets to see that movie at the Hollywood Theater. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. We're on the way towards making our goals, and we want you to be part of that. So donate to KBOO today. I want to say thank you to Rebecca, who became a new member by calling 877-500-5266.
Yeah, indeed. Again, this is really a wonderful opportunity to get a real inside glimpse into a Native community, into a really fascinating and amazing individual in the person of Winona LaDuke, to see the work of Carrie Pickett, the filmmaker who is on the line with us, and also kind of an anatomy of a struggle. It's a whole bunch of things all together. I was really impressed with Carrie, how you did mingle all those different elements. That must have been somewhat of a challenge to sort of weave that whole story together.
It was a year of editing, 5 days a week, 10-hour days.
I'll say so then.
And I worked with Dan Geiger, who was the editor, and I was still filming during that time, so it was a little challenging for him because I kept adding more and more material that we had to work with. But my first film, The Fabulous Ice Age, which is available on Netflix, covers 100-year history and 7 major ice shows, and the entrepreneurs that started them and the stars that starred in them and the cultural context. And so I thought, well, if I can do a film that covers 100 years, I can definitely weave together Winona's life, the Anishinaabe migration story, the examples of historic trauma in the areas where this pipeline crosses, the story of the wild rice, and the story of these pipelines. So there's really a lot in there. But I do believe that it really does flow really seamlessly and beautifully. And the film, people say it moves very, very quickly, and that they learn a lot. I get that from a lot of people, that they say they've really learned a lot from the film.
Indeed. And, you know, I'm sorry, this all kind of came together really quick. Our Are you and or Winona going to be present at the film tomorrow?
Yes, we're both going to be there. And as Winona stated, her mom, Betty LaDuc, the artist, I filmed Winona's mom in the Portland Art Museum when she had her show, Portland Harvest, I think it was Native, or what was it? It was something Harvest. Her amazing paintings of farm workers. And so I think you'll see that her mom's interest in farm workers and food and sustainable agriculture was passed down to her daughter. And I think when you see those scenes of Winona planting her corn and the thread of her corn being throughout the film from planting through to harvest, when you meet and see her mother, you'll see, you know, part of the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
So you'll not only be able to see this wonderful new film, First Daughter and the Black Snake, you'll get to see and potentially meet Winona LaDuc, her mother, Betty LaDuc, and the filmmaker who I have still on the line, Carrie Pickett. I guess so. I guess Winona was actually driving her car to Portland as we talked.
No, we're going to fly to Portland.
Oh, you're going to fly, okay.
We're going to fly to Portland, but the one thing that I think she so let me just step back for a second, because you complimented the film on the visuals, and I think that one of the ways that this film was able to cover so much ground and cover so much territory is that I really did all the filming, and I'm my own audio person, and there's just a few aspects of the film where I had another filmmaker where I hired to bring on, or I hired a drone filmmaker to help me, because I unfortunately put my drone in the lake filming wild rice.
Oh no.
And so some of the drone footage is from my camera, but I did work with a few other filmmakers, but for the most part I really am not only the producer and the director, but I'm also the cinematographer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just that one scene of the woman harvesting the wild rice with those two sticks in the canoe, I just thought that was tremendous.
Yeah, can you believe how much work it is to do wild rice?
The kernel of rice doesn't weigh that much, so it takes a lot. Then there was the scene, of course, of people, all the different harvesters taking their bags to be weighed, and then the threshing of the rice. It's quite the process. So yeah, when people buy their little packets of wild rice, they should go see this movie to see where what goes into that, especially if they buy that native wild rice.
Yeah, because the rice from California is what Winona calls tame rice. It's not wild at all. It's paddy rice, and so when you see Winona on her as part of her organization Honor the Earth on honorearth.org, they sell the hand harvested wood parched wild rice, and once you see the film I think you're going to appreciate that rice in ways that you never thought you could, because you'll be able to see the images of the people in your mind and understand all the incredible process that it goes to get that bag of wild rice.
Yeah, if we had been able to talk further with Winona, we would have been able to ask her more about her organization that you did mention, Honor the Earth. I had planned to do that. And also what the availability of that product that they so painstakingly and lovingly harvest might be in a place like Oregon. But you have a chance.
I know she's planning on bringing some bags of rice
okay.
with her.
Excellent. So there's another reason to go see this film tomorrow evening at the Hollywood Theater at 7 p.m. here in Portland. And you can meet Carrie Pickett, the filmmaker who I'm speaking with right now. Before we go to our next break, do you have any updates yourself on the status of the Line 3, which is the kind of the next struggle against a pipeline going on in Minnesota?
Yeah, the Line 3, there's it's very interesting because the governor of Minnesota, Mark Dayton, his agency just came out with the recommendation against Line 3. And this was just a huge and shocking development and very difficult for Enbridge, I think, because they've already started construction both of the line, both in Canada and in Wisconsin. And so we're in the middle of that, and if Minnesota does not permit Line 3, then they're going to need to use their existing pipelines, which is exactly what the governor's agency said they could do, that there was no need for the pipeline because the Alberta Clipper line, there's already existing line capacity for their tar sands oil. And so that was really a big win. It's just an opinion. And so the regulatory process starts up again actually on Thursday, and I really have to give it up for Winona for coming with me to the film festival in Portland, because as we are at the festival in Portland, thousands of people are going to be marching in Minneapolis against Line 3. There's the regulatory process is starting up in northern Minnesota again right now on Line 3, and there's a big meeting that morning, and so we're going to go to the meeting in Minnesota and then sort of have to leave all the goings on early and jump on a plane and come to you. But resistance camps have already been formed along the line in Minnesota. People have gone over into Wisconsin near the Enbridge terminal in Superior, and there have already been activists who have locked down on equipment. I think there have been maybe about 15 people arrested so far, and people are calling for supporters of the No DAPL movement to come to Minnesota and to stand with people. I think that the regulatory process is a very important part of participating in this pipeline opposition, and then we see that the part of the winning strategy, I think, for people has been a more holistic approach. So, the public marches have been important. And
well, thank you for that update. We're going to have to go to a break, and we'll be back with you for the last 5 minutes of our interview here with Carrie Pickett, filmmaker of The First Daughter and The Black Snake, premiering in Portland tomorrow evening at the Hollywood Theater. And folks, we need to come and ask for your support for KBOO right now. We have still a fair amount of money to make our goal for this hour, and I believe we still have a few pairs of tickets left to this film.
Yeah.
So take the opportunity and call us up.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I'm Becky. I'm joined by Mike, and we're here to remind you of what an incredible resource KBOO is. And this show in particular, when you get to listen to Carrie Pickett and Winona LaDuke, who will be in town tomorrow at the Eco Film Festival, you know that that is being aired no other place here in Portland. So please call 877-500-5266 and become a member of this powerful movement for media justice. Not only media justice, but information. I mean, Carrie Pickett, incredible filmmaker, on the air to talk about this film, but also is telling you about Line 3 and the actions that are happening in Minneapolis. These sort of like community building and incredible like activism, that stuff happens every day. You only hear about it here on KBOO. Call 877-500-5266.
877-500-5266. More talk radio. And you're listening to KBOO. It's our fall membership drive. And the Eco Film,
that out. We've got all these tickets.
Yeah, we've got all these tickets to the Portland Eco Film Festival, the premier environmental film festival in the Pacific Northwest, in the United States, showcasing the very best films about nature, the environment, outdoor pursuits, and eco-conscious living. So, if you want to get those tickets to the premier the opening night film. We've got two left. We've also
no, I'm just, I need excited. To get some too. Yeah. So if you don't jump on it, I will. 877-500-5266. I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, yeah. It's so exciting. There's also Island Earth and Water Warriors on the 29th. There's Jeff's World, Hunting Giants, and Lost in Light. On the 30th, there's The Gardener and Cranberry Lake. And we've also got two tickets to A River's Last Chance, a story about salmon, timber, weed, and wine along California's Mighty Eel River.
The Mighty Eel. So basically, for $60 a year, that's $5 a month, you can get tickets to the Portland Eco Film Festival, which is an incredible collection of well-curated, beautifully shot, and actual important films that you can go to. We have this reciprocal relationship with the Hollywood because we both work to make our communities better, and you are an intrinsic and important part of that. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can go online, kboo.fm, and click on donate. On top of that, when you call right now, you will be entered to win a prize. And today's drawing is one I'm particularly excited about, for a $200 gift certificate from Pro Photo Supply, which is good for not only equipment, classes, but also rentals. And we're offering a new prize every day of the drive. So call 877-500-5266 right now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and regulations. Y'all, we got $340. And we're looking for, well, we have it. I think we don't have it. That's what I'm saying.
we need your help. $340. I want to thank Rebecca for becoming a new member. Yeah, Rebecca called 877-500-5266. She actually did what you're about to do.
That's right. Be like Rebecca. I'm also a Rebecca. So I have like this, you know, like unionhood with you. So thank you for calling. And be like Rebecca. Call and become a member of this incredible, it's not even really an institution, I'd say. It's just a community experiment that has gone on for 50 years and has, through that whole time, created incredible programming. So join us by calling 877-500-5266 right now. Don't miss out on the opportunity at $60 a month to see Winona LaDuke live at the Hollywood on the 28th. And Betty LaDuke, by the way. Oh, our engineer tricked me. Thank you.
And thank you, Becky and Mike. Appreciate your all's participation and support and continuing involvement. And yeah, the partnership between KBOO and Hollywood goes way back. It's a natural natural partnership, both nonprofits, both community supported in various ways. And so, yeah, there's a whole roster of films coming up at the Portland Eco Film Festival. I've seen a bunch of them. It's a great place to see a film, too. I'm sure Carrie, as a filmmaker, will appreciate it. Right, Carrie?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. It's just nothing like being in a real theater and having your film play on the big screen with beautiful sound. And speaking of sound, I have to give a huge shout out to NACO and NACO and Medicine for the People, because they help make the film so positive. NACO's music goes throughout the film. I also worked with the composer Richard Martinez from New York, and NACO's music is just so special, and he was just incredibly generous with me. And I think his music helps people walk out of that theater feeling really so uplifted.
And yeah, music and film together. It must be really an amazing process to put a film together, working with all those different elements. Kind of a three-ring circus in some ways.
I don't think anybody, if you aren't a filmmaker, I don't think anybody could possibly understand how many hours go behind every second on that screen. Every second. It's tremendous. And it's so much different than a narrative feature where there's a script and you know what the scenes are, you know what the angles are, you know what the story is. It all has to be
built from scratch, in a sense, in the editing process and in the shooting process. And so it is, documentaries, I think, are just the tremendous as an art form, because they're so darn hard to make.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the fruit of all that effort once again coming up tomorrow evening at the Hollywood Theater here in our fair city of Portland, Oregon, at Northeast Sandy and 41st, the Hollywood Theater. That'll be tomorrow evening. And my guest, Carrie Pickett, who's been gracious enough to be on the phone with us for this hour, will be there along with the main subject of the film, Winona LaDuke. And as my engineer Liam said, her mother, the artist, Betty LaDuke, will also be there. And we got to go. Thank you so much, Carrie. We'll see you tomorrow evening.
Thank you so much. I really had a wonderful talk with y'all.
All right.
Hope to see you tomorrow.
And this has been Paul Roland with Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio.
Bye-bye.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Black Bear Diner, located at 105 Northeast Burnside Road in Gresham, serving all-day American comfort food and desserts in a woodsy setting. Lunch was provided by Musubi, located at 2134 Southeast Division Street, Portland's takeout spot for Hawaiian sushi rice snacks filled with homemade Spam and other delicacies. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO's Fall Drive Daily Prize Drawing Rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the daily prize drawing. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance of winning. The prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household will be accepted each day. Winner will be determined in a random drawing daily between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Winner may be notified by telephone the following day. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions,